Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we have had quite a week. I mean, when I say quite a week, I mean exactly that. It's been something that nobody would believe. And I know you guys are out there celebrating the 4th of July. I don't celebrate the 4th of July. But if you want to do it, I don't have no problem at all with you celebrating the 4th of July. You go right ahead. I tell you, we are at war today. We're at war. We're fighting a war. And people just don't get it yet. They don't understand how important it is to make sure that we're doing all the things that we need to do to make this thing happen. And to continue on this path, oh, wow, is amazing, because we have to show the world who we are. We have to show the world that, you know, what we're doing is the right thing to do. We have to move forward and deal with this thing. Until we're able to deal with this thing, we're not going to make it. So we have to make sure that we're doing all the things that need to be done. I'm excited today. I tell you, just to be able to talk about the 4th of July, actually, because it's not a holiday for me. It's not a holiday for you. But yet still, you celebrate this holiday, and it's all wrong. I tell you that, all wrong. We have no business celebrating this holiday. There's not a reason in this world we should be celebrating this holiday. And staying full focus, because this is big time stuff. This is stuff that we should be doing. We should be preparing. And we're at war, you know. And a lot of times people just don't get it, but we are at war. And we got to continue to fight this battle until we're able to move this thing to a whole different level, you know. And this is something that we all can do. And to make this thing happen, we have to move. We the one who have to move. We have to make sure we're doing this for our children and our children's children. There's nothing more important than that, I tell you. And we talk about the problems here. You see, it's not one thing. It's everything. You see, we have been a victim of what we call, we want to be just like them. Everything we do, we want to be just like the enemy. And we're not happy until we're acting like them. And until we start acting like them, we keep doing the same thing. Let's make things happen. Let's do what we need to do and move this thing to a whole different level. I'm excited. And here's the thing. If you are silent about your pain, they will kill you and say you enjoy every single minute of it. That's right. They will kill you and claim you enjoy every single minute of it. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, they will. They will kill you and then claim that you enjoyed every single minute of it. This is what we're dealing with today. We're dealing with fascism itself. That's really what we're dealing with. And it's unfortunate that we have to deal on this level. You see, and we walk around here and talk about the opinion of other people. You know, if they don't know the subject, then their opinion means nothing at all. That's right. If they do not know the subject, their opinion means nothing at all. And we got to let them know that, you know, we are better than this. You know, we can do whatever we need to do. All we have to do is do it. And we can do it. It's not difficult, you see, but we make things difficult, you know. So that's where we at today. We're moving in a direction that we shouldn't be in. You know, and it's unfortunate, but that's just the way they play it. But it's something we can do, you see. And one thing I have learned is that I have learned to ignore people who are not doing anything anyway. Especially my brothers and sisters, you know, I always say that we're the busiest people there is in the whole wide world. There's nobody in this world busier than us. Nobody. That's right. Nobody is busier than us. You know, and it's unfortunate, but reality has set in. We're living in the time right now where we should be moving everything towards the future of our children. Nothing is more important than our children. Nothing. There's nothing in this world more important than our children. You know, my fight is about the future of our children. I'm not fighting for Reverend Pinckney. I'm fighting for the future of Reverend Pinckney children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. That's what I'm fighting for. That's where you should be. That way, when you move yourself out the way, you're able to help other people. You can't help nobody if you got yourself right in the middle of it. You want to be all this in a bag of chips. You want to be all this. That's you. If you're going to do it like that, then we're going to continue being in the same position that we're in today. We're in a very compromising position today. And I'm not going to sit here and blame it on the white man. I'm not going to sit here and blame it on him. You know, he do carry some of this blame for what he did back in over 400 years ago, but we haven't gotten over that yet. You see, we haven't been able to go beyond that. So some of this is here, but look, it's time that we move forward. We got to move all these sellouts, these sambos, out of the way to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to do. And that's why we have the Sambo of the Year Award. Because right now, you know, you got people walk around here knowing that they're destroying your children's future, and you accepting it like it's okay. That's right. You are accepting this like it is okay. It's not okay. You see? And we have to tell them. We have to step to the plate and say that we're going to protect our children, our grandchildren, our great-great-grandchildren, and that's it. And remember, any time you beg another man to set you free, you would never be free. Freedom is something that you have to do for yourself. If you can't take it, you won't get it. That's it. You won't get it. And today, black folks, you're not free. You're still in slavery. That's why I don't celebrate Juneteenth. Slavery still exists today. And it exists because we have failed to build a foundation for our children. Some of us have, but it takes all of us. Because they're coming, and they're working together against you. That's right. So just remember, anytime you have to beg another man to set you free, you would never be free. And don't think otherwise. You're not going to be free. Because that's just the way it is. If you can't take it, you won't get it. If you can't take it, you will not get it. So just remember that. That is crucial. So those of you who are out there selling July 4th with your fireworks, wasting your money, that's a waste of money. Waste of money. Fireworks. Waste of money. You know, you're wasting your money trying to celebrate the white man 4th of July. You know, and you're still not free. And if you walk around here thinking you're free, you got problems. And you need to figure out a way what you're going to do. Because there's nothing more important than that. And I want to tell folks, and I want to thank everybody who sent the email to vote on yesterday. We got quite a few people on yesterday. This thing is getting out of control a little bit, but I like it. They're voting for the Sambo of the Year Award, and everybody doing good. They understand who the candidates are. They understand what they have done and why they have been nominated or was nominated for the Sambo of the Year. And I'm going to repeat that real fast so I can bring in my first guest, Annette, and I want to have her so she can have a lot of time to talk about this. I hope she has a friend with her today. And I want to really talk about, and then I want to dig deep in why we should not be going to a fast food place on certain days and doing this on certain days. I think that's crucial, too. Because there's nothing more important than educating our people. And that's what we do on this show. We educate you. But let me hit these samples real fast for you because I think it's important that you know the candidates, you know, for the sample of the year, you know. And we're going to have a dinner in December. The winner of the – we're going to invite all the candidates for the Sambo of the Year Award, and hope that they do come, and hope that the one who wins the honor definitely shows up. So the number one is the mayor of Benton Harbor, Marcus Singer. He's the mayor here, Marcus Singer. And he won the Sambo of the Year last year. So those of you who are out there voting, it's Marcus Singer, not Marcus Muhammad. See, Marcus Muhammad lost that name, Muhammad, for being a sellout. So he's back to being Marcus Singer now. That's important. Then we have the Judge Mayfield, black judge, Clarence Thomas of Michigan. The real Clarence Thomas, just like him. You see, straight up sellout. Straight up sellout. So she's the judge. She give babies away. She take babies from families and all this. I can't say whether they're selling them or not. I can't say. But when you take them, then you're stepping on my toes. That's how I feel about this. Then we have Dan McGinnis, the chief of police here. One of the worst police department in the nation. Benton Harbor is one of the worst police department in the whole nation. The city is 90% black, and the police force is like 98% white. How ridiculous is that? They don't solve no crime. They don't come out. Only time they come out when there's a white person in trouble or need help. Then we have Ryan Singleton, the spineless. He used to be a cop. He used to be chief of police, too. Spineless then. He was like Don Knox, you see. On Andy Griffin, shaking. He's scared to pull the trigger, scared to do anything, a coward. won't speak up at the meeting. He's a commissioner, won't speak up. I mean, he's like, he's a waste. That's what he is. He's a waste of time. Exactly what he is. That's why he's running for the Sambo of the Year Award. He kissed up the World Food Corporation. And then we have the mother-son combination, Marletta Cease and Dwayne Cease. Two real sellouts, real sellouts. See, Dwayne Cease and Marcus Singer are personal friends. They've been friends for a long time. So you can almost tell they have the same thinking pattern. That's right. They have the same thinking pattern. So that's what that is. So you have my letter seats, and then you have the Wayne seat, who hands is bloody. Blood is dripping from his hand. He had the nerve to want to shake my hand the other day. Absolutely not. I wouldn't shake his hand if they paid me. But the most important thing is that don't forget to vote. You can vote by sending an email to banco9342@sbcglobal.net. And on that note, I'm going to bring in my first guest. I want her to have plenty of time to talk, tell her story, and make it happen. Annette, are you there? Talk to me.
Yes. I can never say enough how much I appreciate you, Reverend Pinckney, and all of our fellow warriors who are in the struggle. Again, just like you, I found it very interesting that 2 weeks out before the 4th of July, we start seeing all of the, and again, when you go into the stores, it was a month ago, and they having all of the celebration and for the 4th of July, but yet for Juneteenth, it is a observation. We observe June 19th. We're not celebrating because, again, like you say, we're not free. We are still mm-hmm. slaves. We are still enslaved. And whenever we speak out or speak up, we become to be targets on all levels and all fronts, and even our family, friends, and others are targeted as well, just for speaking up and for speaking out. So, again, you know, the Cinco de Mayo, that's the Mexican independence. And mm-hmm. it's a huge celebration, a huge, because, again, first of all, I'm out here on the West Coast, but it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, they have their own community. And we, like you said, we are so distracted. We're so busy doing nothing. And I found this has been very interesting to me. Please start noticing all of these game shows. And we are in a war, like you said.
Yeah.
We are in a war. We've never come out of the war. And it's been a continuous war. And this country, like you say, have so much blood, black, white, and other, on their hands. When you are oppressing a person, people, you have blood on your hands. So, again, I'm so with you. And one of the things, I actually have done quite a bit of Bible studying. I've studied different religions and groups. One of the things with the Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't celebrate holidays. I find mm-hmm. that to be refreshing. I find it to be very refreshing because when it's Christmas, they say, oh, it's the happiest time of the year, when I find that there is more suicides during Christmas when, again, all the information we've gathered and seen clearly let us know that it's not even Jesus' birthday. Again,
yeah.
Mother's Day,
yeah.
Father's Day. These are days we need to celebrate every day. This is a day
yeah.
that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. But there's also another scripture that talks about when the wicked is in rule, the people will mourn. But when the righteous is in rule, the people shall rejoice. So one of the things, I guess, what we're saying is we need to get the right people to make sure that we're moving our cause forward. And this has been a huge problem, whether they are going in with good intentions, and once they get in, they in too deep. Because I personally have experienced people starting out, and they are being very helpful. And somewhere along that path, you know, things changed. And, of course, I know how the game is played. So, therefore, I do understand a lot of these Sambos, a lot of them are in too deep. And what happens is when you start selling your soul, well, you got to pay back.
Yes.
And so,
there you go.
Again, you got to make a decision and don't waver to the left or the right, no matter what's going on, all about us. No matter what's going on, we're forging straight ahead. We are in too deep, and we don't came too far to turn around now. So, again, with that being said, we want to make sure that every single person, please go get your calendar. Go get your calendar right now. Go get your calendar and a pen, because, again, when you write this down and you look at it, but more importantly, when you understand what you're doing and why you're doing it, you are more likely to do it. And we're looking for action figures. We need action figures. This is very important. Again, I cannot even comprehend how we are not being more proactive today, because we have the internet, we have cell phones, we have all this technology to be in touch, have the information at our hands, but we are more lost now than we've ever been as a people. And the time is more important now than it's ever been as a people. So hopefully everyone have their calendar, and hopefully everybody has a pen. Now, at the top of this calendar, starting off your work week with Monday, no fast foods, McDonald's Monday. No fast foods on Monday. No Starbucks coffee, Breakfast Jack, have it your way, no fast foods, period. Because, again, we really don't need to be eating fast foods. And this is where our black farmers come in, and we're getting the nourishment that our body needs. So we have a lot of diseases and early deaths just because we're eating so much garbage. So, again, on Monday, McDonald's Monday, no fast foods. And whatever your cause is in your community, because we want to make this local for every single body, because it just doesn't matter what city you are in. And I've seen this in my travels in the past couple of years. No matter what city I've been in, we have contaminated water. We have unsafe, unsanitary living housing conditions, which we pull the HUD, Miss Marsha Fudd, call her out. It's not just about you getting a position. We want people who, we don't care what color you are. As a matter of fact, I mean, I think I want to go get the white people and Republicans back in office. It seemed like they were doing more for us than the Democrats. And so now,
think about this. All these years, the Democrats haven't done nothing for black folks.
No.
All we do is vote for them.
Right.
Absolutely.
And we're so stupid. Again, now look at how much money that they pour into these ads that nobody wants to see. And you want to talk about this politician being that, when in fact all of you have sinned and came short of the glory. Because again, I'm not interested in what and how. I want to know what you're going to be doing, period.
Absolutely.
And I think every black person need to be an independent. And whoever is in your town who is about your cause, our cause, that's who we're voting for. I mean, yes, we're going for the highest bidder. Yes, our vote is for sale. And that's why we're going to be voting with your dollars. So on Monday, you call your city council person and no fast food. Ticket Tuesday. You want to call the mayor. And I got to tell you, I put it out on my social media. I also made sure I text message everybody the mayor's number to Benton Harbor on yesterday, and I mean last week. And I tell you, I could not get in all day or all night. And I want you to know I'm the telephone queen when it comes down to, yes, *67, your number. Change your voices, change your background, hang up and call back. Again,
hey, listen,
we want
let me,
to.
Let me, give you,
yes.
let me give you the mayor a cell phone number.
269,
right,
okay.
Write this down, 269.
Okay.
669-861-6504.
6504.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's him.
Okay. 269-861-6504. Everybody, please write this down. We want everybody on Ticket Tuesday, to call the mayor at 269-861-6504 and demand that we're going to be having clean water. And again, I got to share my experience in Sacramento with contaminated water, make the Air Force Base, and it's a super fun, F-U-N-D, fun site. So these are some of the most contaminated places, and it's so much money that they dumped into it. They call it the super fun. So that was my experience, and like I said, it doesn't matter. You know, when I was down there in San Diego, again, sewer water was coming in. It doesn't matter what city you're in. It doesn't. So
yeah,
Ticket Tuesday.
That's just
on
another
Ticket
tool
Tuesday.
In their toolbox to get rid of us. That's just another
exactly.
tool in their toolbox to get rid of us.
I can never stress it enough. That's why it is so important that, again, one of the initiatives that is being moved forward is actually through Grand Master Jay with the NFAC, who they have, again, arrested because people are being outspoken and we're being pro-black. We're not anti-anything else, but we as a people are tired of being attacked, being tracked, being hacked, constantly being pursued and surveillance. Again, this needs to stop. And every single person, whether you're black or white, we need to come together and speak out against this. And it's more of us than it is of them. It's more of us. Now, on Walmart Wednesday, again, Walmart is a machine. And it doesn't run without us, but it does not support us. You have a lot of Walmart workers who are on food stamps, who are on housing, who cannot afford to even pay gas to get back and forth to work. Again, this is unacceptable. And on Walmart Wednesday, do not. Whatever you do, do not go to Walmart on Wednesday. And please get this word out. Even if we don't do anything else. The Walmart is such a major, it'll be a litmus of what we are accomplishing. Because, again, it's three Walmarts on every street. Once we don't go into work, once we do not go into shop, they are going to understand who we are and the power that we possess. But more important, we will understand our power. So on Walmart Wednesday, do not go to no Mart stores, no 7-Eleven, no convenience stores, no Kmart, no Mart stores. And you call your state representative. Call your state representative and whatever going on in your community, you have *67 and call them back. *67 and call them back. Make sure your issues, and again, in all of these cities, I'm finding that our people are being locked up for no reason, just like you, just like me, just like my son, just like Grandmaster Jay, just like Linwood Collins, all across this country, black people can tell you these horror stories from being wrongfully arrested, wrongfully thrown in jail, trying to shut you up, trying to come after you. And this is, again, slavery. Nothing has changed. Please believe that. Black people and white people, nothing has changed. Okay, then we go to another very, very, very important day, especially with the gas prices being what they are. Thirsty Thursday. No alcohol. Do not buy your alcohol, your beer, your whatever going on. Do not go to the gas station. If you have to hop a ride, if you have to do an Uber, if you have to walk, bicycle, do not go to the gas station and do not go to the liquor store on Thursday. And that's the day to call your governor. I'm asking every single body to please call the governor of Louisiana, Governor Bel Edwards. This is the whistleblowers. We're getting ready to blow the whistle, blow the whistle, blow the whistle. Blow the whistle for the Davis family of the Davis Brothers Lumber Company. Blow the whistle and let them know that you stole black farmers. You stole the land. You stole the company and the inheritance. But that's okay, because the company has still been running. And we want you to know, please, everyone, write this down. Please write this down. This is huge. Write this down. Congress, examine. You want to do a dollar sign. And put the number 32. So that's $32 trillion. Dora, P-A-N-D-O-R-A. Papers. Congress examine $32 trillion hidden Pandora Papers. Now, the Pandora Papers is when I went and filed with the IRS, my great-grandfather's company. And 600 journalists went to 117 countries to find that 130 billionaires, 330 politicians. Now, this probably why we have not been getting success is because 330 politicians through the Pandora Papers has revealed that the United States is number two for being the safe haven for the rich and wealthy around the world, stealing the Davis Brothers Lumber Company, Ansley, A-N-S-L-E-Y, Louisiana. This they're stealing the money and hiding it in the United States that rank number two for safe havens under the Cayman Islands. So now, again, we're asking everyone to call Governor Edwards at 225-342-0991. Please let me give that number again. You do star 67-225-342-0991. This is Governor Edwards. Anyone who contacts the state of Louisiana, the Secretary of the Treasurer, or the Treasurer, or the Attorney General's office, becomes to be a part of our whistleblower lawsuit and blowing the whistle. This is a $32 trillion estate. With whistleblower lawsuits, whenever you file a lawsuit, they give you 10 to 30% of whatever that settlement. So when we're talking $32 trillion that we have uncovered, and however many people come in, we're splitting the money. You have two people? Okay. You have 40 people, 100 people, however, because I'm just saying they're going to have to give us our money whether they want to or not. I mean, you just got to do it. You have no other choice. I'm so proud of what you just said, Reverend Pinckney. You said we're not doing this for ourselves. We're doing it for the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren and the great-great-grandchildren to come. You are so right. And that's what our forefathers did for us. And what do we look like? Not fighting for what they did for us to fight for our own self and what belonged to us. What do we look like? Like you say, we're too busy.
Let me say this to you, Annette. I think this is important. I can't think of too many mothers who don't love their children. I can't. You know, that's just me. Mm-hmm. You know, and they would do anything for their children, you see.
Yes.
Right. And, but yet, it's, you know, here what I found out, like here in Benton Harbor, even the women themselves, they will kiss up to these white folks, knowing what the white folks is doing wrong, and still accept them like they somebody. And like they want to be around them, like you know, like the other day I dropped some water off at my doctor, well, my friend Dr. Tam's office, and when I got there, this guy Cease was there. He's the one of the guys running was nominated for the Sambo of the Year. Him and his mother. Only he was there, and he wanted to reach out and shake my hand, and you should have saw the look on my face. The doctor, first thing the doctor, he said, man, I saw the look on your face. I said, he had a lot of nerve with all that blood dripping from his hand. Going to shake my hand?
Right.
No, I don't do that.
Look,
not only do I walk the walk, I talk the talk, and I display it. See, I don't let these folks, think that they're somebody when I know they're not. That shook the doctor's office up so bad that people were running out of there. They were running. He was running around in circles. He said, man, I said, yeah. I said, I would never shake his hand for any reason. And I said, I am shocked that he would even ask me to, because I saw blood dripping from his hand, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my wife in the car, but she didn't come in. But I was telling, you know, I was telling her, I said, well, he wanted to shake my hand. What is wrong with him? You know, I don't stoop that low. You know, everything I do is motivated by the people, the future of our children. That's more important to me than anything.
Exactly. Yes. I'm so with you in San Diego. It was just very disturbing. It was so disturbing what I saw. you know, listening to the, you know, we had story time when we were little coming up. And the story time was about, you know, their lives. It wasn't three little piggies and seven dwarfs. And no. They were talking about their lives. And when I listened to my parents constantly talk about, you know, the things that they did in San Diego and, you know, the life that they lived. And, you know, again, they moved and migrated and, you know, people would come and stay with each other and help them to get on jobs. And again, they built that city. They built San Diego. And when I went back, it was like, oh, my God, what? And I constantly kept asking, and this is very important. You know, from city to city I go to, I say, okay, who are the black church leaders? That's the first inquiry that I have. I want to know who are those black church leaders. And I want you to know, I haven't been to a city yet, not yet. And they told me, oh, this is the black church leaders right here. I have not been to a city yet. And they really pointed those people out. And the ones that were pointed out to me have not responded. I'm saying they have not
responded. And they never
responded.
Will. Here's the thing. Remember this about these. They think they're bigger than life. All they want to do for you to bring your money into their church, and they use it the way they want to use it to please themselves. That's what they do. You see, tithes and offerings. When you pay tithes and offerings, they're supposed to be taking care of the community, you see.
Exactly.
And nobody holds them accountable for that. When you paying tithes and offerings, you're supposed to be right in the community taking care of the community, you see. And even everybody is not qualified to be in the community, but that money is. The money is qualified to be in the community to help out. So
exactly.
And
it's going to those local banks that are not giving us loans. And if they do, they have a higher interest rate. Or they redline us where we, you know, you can go over here, but you can't come over here, you know.
Yeah.
That kind of mentality. And, you know, I found it interesting when I was down there in Las Vegas. If you get in a helicopter and you look down, and you can just see how did these people convince folks to come from around the world to a desert? The water is actually evaporating so fast until they are actually walking out on dry land. They are actually seeing the city before they let the water come in. I mean, again, but one of the things that I'm saying is that you have all of the surrounding communities have, you know, just flourished and money is just flowing. But then in the black community in Las Vegas, they have maybe about a little circle that's up in there, and they call it West Side. And I want you to know they have, like, I don't know, 30 churches or something like that within that area.
Are they black churches?
They are black churches, and it's a blighted area. How you let all this money flow all around you, and you got 30 churches? And I mean, you know, I remember walking from one church to go to, you know, seven churches on the same street. Because, again, they're very close, and if they're having some kind of major function, it's difficult to even park because you got all these churches with all these people coming and dumping their money into the church, and the church is dumping their money into the to the banks and the casinos. Like you say, the pastor preacher's doing whatever they want to do. But one of the things that I did, Reverend Pinckney, is that I sent to you an email. When I spoke with a lady, Miss Betsy Watson, down in San Diego, when I spoke with her, she actually brought me over, and it was a calendar. And it was the calendar of the legacy churches in Maury County, Tennessee. And these are all of those churches. Now, on that calendar, it actually gives you a picture of the church, and it tells you who these founding forefathers and mothers of the church. And that was why I went to the different cities and ask for the spiritual leaders, because, again, that's one of the ways that we really want to disperse these funds through the word of God and the people who have kept it going and, again, given honor to him, and that he is glorified, not man, that God is glorified. So I hope, I personally hope, that we can be able to make sure that we're coming together, and anyone who's at a HBCU, who's at any of these churches, who are black farmers, black preachers, veterans, anyone who wants to participate in organizing, let me say that again, in organizing, because this is what we're going to be needing to do, is to organize. Anyone who's interested in organizing, please contact me. This is very important. At 702-833-0308. Again, please contact Annette, A-N-N-E-T-T-E, Haynes, H-A-Y-N-E-S, Haynes, Walker, W-A-L-K-E-R, 702-833-0308. And we would love for every church to make sure that their church secretary and youth director or ministry is involved in this particular project, because it's going to take the connection from the old to the new, but it's going to take the new, because the children will lead the way. And so yeah, we really do want them to be involved. We want them to be trained, so when we get ready to pass the baton, they can be able to carry it on. So, again, absolutely, now, the Friday is Born Friday. Born Friday. Please, 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 and I'm really speaking to my queen, please do not go to no foreigners on Friday. And I know that that's a popular day because people want to get all glammed up for the weekend. And please, Born Friday is really designed to send especially to the foreigners that we support you. Now, if you're not supporting us, then we're going to stop supporting you, because, again, we got the power to have everything for ourselves. We do not have to support or patronize anyone. We have the power and the wealth to have everything our own. But, again, we as a people, because we are the mothers and fathers to the world, we give them that opportunity to do business with us. And we make the first move in going into their businesses. But we have found that they are not celebrating our holiday. You're not giving back to our community. And I think that's a very disrespect to us as a people. So when we stop on Fridays, if you're getting ready to go buy some Chinese food, some Mexican food, you're getting ready to go to the Asian hair place or the nail place, please don't do it on Friday, whatever you do. And on Friday, make sure you call your governor, state representative, you call your congressman, and you call your senator. And whatever issue you got going on, please tell them, Pharaoh, let our people go. I mean, we need to let everybody out of all these jails, because this is a nothing, I told you, nothing has changed from slavery. And this is human trafficking. They are charging them for the commissaries and the telephones and anything that they can get to make money. They are just trapping, throwing them in there so they can make more money. I noticed when there are riots going on, why do you got to go and arrest people? Why do you got to go, oh, making money. Got to pay bond and jail and court costs. And all. Oh, making money. Why?
There
because we're standing up and having our voices heard. I don't think so. And then Sabbath Saturday, make sure, please rest. We, like you said, are so busy. It's been put in us to work, 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 work. But at the same time, I think that's the reason why God made it a commandment, because we don't have time to hear from him when we are so busy, 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 okay? So, again, please take that time to settle down, have your family, to focus. I mean, again, I do not want to push my beliefs on anyone, but whoever or whatever you believe in, this is an opportunity to have that closeness and to focus and to make sure that you understand who is the Lord of your life. There's two masters now. You got to realize which one you're serving. You need to do that yourself. And then, of course, on Sunday, Black Power Sunday, we're going to power down all of our devices. I personally believe we need to even shut off the problem breakers. However, I do know a lot of people don't know you need to unplug a lot of stuff before you power that back on. But Black Power Sunday from 8 to 8:15, 15 minutes, we're going to have a rolling blackout across the country. So, again, those are the days, and we hope that people can be able to apply. And then, of course, it should be at the top of your calendar, what you should not do, and who you should call. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Wow. I tell you, that is so, so important. And I love for you to tell Black folks, like, you know, how to deal with it, because we don't get, you know, we don't do that. We don't know how to do that yet. We don't know how to go beyond. And here's something else too. I myself, personally, I think rap music have helped destroy us. You see.
Oh, without a doubt.
And I'm not against black rap music, but I think it has helped to destroy us. And because people take that rap stuff. For real, they go out here gangster killing. That's all the drive-by. To me, doing a drive-by shooting is a coward. That's a cowardly act. And not only that, but think about this: all these shootings that's going on, black folks shooting black folks for no reason because they looked at them and all this kind of stuff. All that crazy stuff. That ain't us. We ain't never been that way. Also, now we that way. You know, and I'm very concerned.
Well, I do want to share with you, Reverend Pinckney. I really want to share this with you. First of all, when you say we don't know, a lot of times when we are doing well, we're not being told that we're doing well because it's, you know, we have to listen to their media to tell us about us.
Right.
We have no, and I shared that with James in Detroit. Now, again, when I send you the video of the Deacons of Defense, this was a young lady, and I got to put it out here. Her name is Miss Taisha Denson, and she's with the WXYZ TV in Detroit. And for over 2.5 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, I tried. I mean, she works really odd shift, like to in the morning to like 8 or 9 or something like that. So I would get up in the middle of the night, try to call, email her, could not get her. Finally, I did get her. I told her, I shared with her, because again, this came out of Jonesboro, Louisiana, where I grew up and people that we were with. And again, with the Davis Brother Lumber Company, a lot of our family moved off of that, our land, and they still were terrorizing us because they did not want us to have what belonged to us, and now is being revealed why they were so intimidating. So anyway, when I finally got in touch with her, it was like she says, okay, I hear what you're saying. I'm interested. Still, we have not heard anything from her, and these were her family. So again, this is a huge story. We really want to get a black journalist.
And, you know, and that's why
story.
I like to come on the show and get out, because we have a tremendous listening audience. I mean, even,
yes.
You know, on Monday is not as good as on Sunday, but, it's, you know, it's enough people to hear you, because some of the same people that comes on Sunday don't listen on Monday, you see. So,
right.
So you get, you know, you get the opportunity to spread the word. And one of the things that I can tell by the voting, the emails that are being sent to me just for the voting. Now, think if they sent you these emails to sign up for the lawsuit. Think about that for a second. You know, I'm talking about 500 to 600 people have sent me emails.
Awesome.
voted for the Sambo.
And you know, Reverend Pinckney, I said that I wanted to wait to the end because it's a long time between now and the ceremony. And so, you know, who knows who may out Sambo the other Sambo. So and we only get one vote, so I want to really make it count.
And look, they know they Sambos. They, you know, they be trying to find one of. We didn't name her Juanita Henry. We didn't name her as a Sambo, but she's one. They had the nerve to email me, call me, and leave a message. Oh, I got something that you need to jump on right away. I need to jump on right. So I get to jump out there, get my neck cut off, and you can say, "Oh,
right.
I should have never told him that or something, whatever it is." And that's how they do. Then they go run for cover. This they hit
exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
yeah.
I
know the game. I know the game, and of course, the guy wanted to shake your hand, and it's dripping with blood. It was nothing more than a stage front that he thought that you were going to play the game with him.
He knew I wasn't going to play that game with him. He already knew that, but he thought maybe, you know.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
The whole office they was running around. They didn't know what I was going to do, you know. I said, this man, all this blood dripping from his hand, got the nerve to want to shake my hand. I was still mad, you know. I'm mad today that he was going to all that blood on his hand. He want to shake my hand.
Exactly.
You don't know what that is. Look, and he's a preacher too, supposed to be.
See, this is what I'm saying. I've been to the cities and. It's very difficult to get a preacher to say that he's a community leader. I mean, very difficult. So, you know, again, our struggle is very different than the ones of the past because these were people who actually, you know, were for the people. And it was about, again, the mission and the struggle. So, again, I thank you so much for your sacrifice. And everyone, please, I invite you to Grandmaster Jay, who has the same concept of the Deacons for Defense, along with the Black Panthers, and us protecting ourselves. And so whenever you're having anyone being wrongfully thrown in jail, this is nothing more than sending a message to everyone else to be quiet, but it should be a message for everyone else to get louder than they've ever been before. And we are asking our Black preachers and our Black churches, please let this be a rallying call to all of us. We get up and go to church every Sunday. Nobody go to church more than Black people. And this is our biggest base. So please let it be a rallying call to be about the cause. Just like the gentleman said to you on yesterday, if they're coming for you today, they will be coming for me tonight. I mean, they don't wait till the next day.
No.
Yeah,
no,
they don't wait
no.
till the next day. No, it
and,
has
and,
gotten
and,
to.
And here's the thing. You sit around here being concerned, not concerned about other people, and when they come for you, it ain't nobody left to be concerned for you. And,
exactly.
And that's how we, and that's black folks, really. We were, you, I remember when my dad, I'm going to say this, and I know it's going to make it short. One of the things my dad used to do, you know, he could go to the police department and get people out of jail with no money.
That's right.
You know.
That's right.
Even for assault, whatever it was, you didn't need money to get people out of jail. You see?
That's true.
And what I learned from that was that people was different then. They had that attitude that they're willing to help everybody. I remember my mom, when somebody died, my mom would go over to the person and clean the house up. I remember this lady's husband died, and she was scared to stay in the house by herself. So my mother sent me to stay out down there to stay with her.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, and look, and I'm scared, you know, I'm thinking, I'm nervous myself. I'm just as nervous as she is about when somebody died in the house too, you know, at that time. But I, you know, mom told me to go. She said, you got to go.
That's right.
And I went.
That's what we did. That's right. That's what we did. So thank you again. May God bless you. And thank you for the opportunity. And I'm asking everyone.
Oh,
please,
I wanted you to get enough time in so you can really do your thing. Listen, we'll next Sunday,
thank you.
5 o'clock.
Yes,
we'll see you there.
Okay, hopefully we'll be happy.